Now we've come to the point in the program today where I'm going to read to you from the scriptures. And I'm reading today from Matthew's Gospel chapter 28 and commencing to read at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I'm sure that God will bless the reading of his own precious and inspired and infallible word to all our hearts. The words that are spoken here by our Lord Jesus Christ were in one of his post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. And he tells them that he is the one in whom is vested all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. It's really fitting that Matthew's gospel should conclude with such an emphasis, because Matthew's gospel is the gospel of the king. It's to the Jewish people that Matthew writes particularly. And right throughout the gospel record, we have the authoritative words and the authoritative power of Jesus Christ shining through again and again. So I've said again, it's very, very fitting that the entire gospel of Matthew should climax with such amazing words. And surely the disciples would need a message like this. Not very many days after this, this wonderful Savior, this person whom they had followed, this person whom they had seen crucified and buried, and now they knew that he was alive and alive forevermore. Now they needed to hear words that would carry them through the difficult trials and tests that were going to come their way as they would extend the boundaries of his kingdom. Being a king, he of course has a kingdom. And being a king, he needs to be someone who reigns with authority, with power, and Jesus Christ really does. He really lives. He really reigns. Why did he come? Well, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came with a message of salvation. And whenever the disciples would set out on their mission, they were going to go with a message of someone who had come, who had lived, who had died, and who now lived again. And of course, as you go through the Acts of the Apostles, the twofold message of the cross and the resurrection were constantly on the lips of the disciples as they proclaimed the name of Jesus Christ. Now, whenever he's going to leave them, he knows that they would need someone who would be big enough, who would be strong enough, who would always be adequate for the challenges that they would face. Just before I get into the heart of my message today, I want you to notice something else. And that is that the word go ye therefore, this word go is not a command. It really is, in the original, a present participle in the Greek, which signifies someone who is going. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is in effect saying to them, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Going therefore, teach all nations. Now I know that the word go is in the gospel, and the Savior needs to give us that command to go, but in this reference, in this point, he is speaking to them as people who were going to be going. Not because he said go, but because their motivation was to travel to the ends of the earth with the message that he would leave with them. So they're going to be going and going until Jesus comes. And when they're going, they are going to make disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us a word. And that is to go and tell men and women of a Savior who lived and died and lives again. One who is able to save to the uttermost. all those that come unto God by him. Aren't you glad today that we've got a message to tell to the nations? That was the song that we played at the beginning of our program today. We've a story to tell to the nations. And there's no story like the story of the cross. And it's not just a story, as we think about story, you know, in a storybook. No, this is factual. This is historic reality. And not only is it historic reality, but it is truth for reality and for our lives today and for real living. Now, as they're going to leave and he is going to set them forth in his name, how are they to be going? Well, first of all, they were to be going in the realization of his sovereignty. The Lord Jesus Christ is always sovereign, and he has always been. And we speak of the sovereign Lord, and he is. He's sovereign in his creative power. He spake, and it was done. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He's sovereign in his cohesive energy. The Bible says, by him all things consist. Yes, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of his power. But it is also this day true to say that he cohesizes everything. He holds all things together by his divine power. But the power that is most relevant to us is redemptive power. And when I speak of redemptive power, I'm speaking of the Redeemer. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, and the Lamb of God, Messiah. And praise God today, he is the one who gave his life that you and I might have life. Was the conquest of the cross victorious? Yes, of course it was. He spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. He was the master not only over demonic powers at the cross, but he was the master over the great battle with sin, the monstrosity that we could not master, that which binds and blinds and controls and holds. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Yes, he's the conqueror over satanic power. Every knee, even under the earth, every knee shall bow to him and confess that he is Lord. He is the master, not only over demonic power, but over the moral pollution and the moral power of sin that controls the moral creation. Yes, and death. Death no longer hath dominion. Satan's power is broken down. Jesus Christ has triumphed, and he wears the victor's crown. Yes, because he's alive, we shall live also. Death could not keep its prey. He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord. And they would need this sovereign with them. He was going to leave them, and yet he said, "I'm going to send you another." And I'm going to share a little bit with you about that other one who is so vitally important to us. But as we leave Matthew's gospel and we leave with these words ringing in our ears, we've got a message that gives us stimulus for our lives. These men were going to face insurmountable odds. They were going to be in an aggressively opposed world, and they would need an authority with them, an authority resting in them and upon them in their future life and ministry. And when all the odds are stacked against them, we need to recall with them these words, this fact, that all power is given unto Jesus in heaven and on earth. Oh, I'm glad today that he doesn't send us forth at our own charges. He doesn't tell us to go and accomplish something in our power. But I can look up to him today and recognize and realize that I have got all the authority, all the power of heaven behind me in going forth as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. That should encourage you today. That should give you the stimulus today to know that there's nothing that you are going to face today that you and the Lord Jesus Christ cannot accomplish, that you cannot win through. Draw upon that power. Recognize it. And have it as a realization within your life, because if you don't have that, you will fail. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men, says Isaiah, shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How? Through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then the Savior said, secondly, as you go, I want you to go in the unction of my Spirit. Let your ministry and your message be anointed with my power, my Spirit. How does the power that is inherent in the Lord Jesus Christ become an inheritance of the believer? Well, that's left to Dr. Luke to tell us and to give us the link between what we read here in Matthew chapter 28 and what the disciples and those gathered with them experienced on the day of Pentecost. Just before he left the disciples, Luke makes this a telling record. He said, I want you to go, but he said, tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And then after that, he was gathered with his disciples and they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom? And he said, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which God hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Not many days hence ye shall be baptized with power. My dear people, it is that added dimension to the gospel records that tells us that he who has all power wants to implant that power into those who are his representatives. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, and actually in just a very few weeks now, we will be celebrating Whit Sunday. And that, of course, is the remembrance of the day of Pentecost. And we want to share with you again about that on that special day at the end of this month. But thank God today for the one who would come in the Savior's place, the Comforter, the Paraclete. And what does the word paraclete mean? The one alongside to help. It is by the ministry of the Spirit as we go that our lives become effective and efficient for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were told not to go at their own charges. They were not to go from Jerusalem until he would come. And that linkage, that connection between who Jesus Christ is, the all-powerful one, and the mission that they would undertake is in that word, therefore. Go ye therefore. He said, I want you to go in my power. Because of who I am, then you can be who I can make you. And when we come, as I've said, to Luke's gospel, he's the one who gives us the significant emphasis that we must go in the unction of the Spirit of God. And so today we are to go, and in going, we are to go in the power of his abiding presence. When the Spirit came at Pentecost, he came to abide. He came to endue. He came to empower. He came to give authority to his disciples. Jesus, speaking of his power, refers to it as authority. He says, all authority is given unto me. But then when he says to the disciples, ye shall receive power, he used the word dunamis, or the word from which we get the English word dynamite. He has the authority. His disciples are to have the dynamic. Have you got the dynamic of the Spirit in your life? There is not only a being born of the Spirit, there is an incoming of the Spirit. There's a coming upon of the Spirit. And whilst in those days the disciples were to wait and waited until Jesus was glorified, now the Savior has been glorified. Now the Spirit has been given. He is available in all his royal fullness for all those who will bow in submission, submitting every ambition, every desire of self, every perversity of heart and life to make you clean and then to fill you to the uttermost. So often we sing, Jesus, fill now with thy Spirit. Hearts that full surrender know that the streams of living water from our inner man may flow. Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. It was last week that we were sharing about the wonderful power of the gospel of Jesus and the message, Jesus is a wondrous name, now and evermore the same. He can cleanse from every stain. Only trust him. He will fill your soul with joy, and your talents will employ Satan's kingdom to destroy. Hallelujah. As you go, he said, I want you to go in the mission of my service. That's what we're doing in going with the grace of Jesus Christ and the gospel of our great Savior. This is his mission. And in telling that story, we find ourselves involved in his service. He wants you to be in his service. He wants us to be servants of God. The hymn says, ye servants of God, your master proclaim and publish abroad his wonderful name. His name and his fame need to be carried around the world. And God has given us a great door and a wonderful privilege of sharing in this medium and with others today, many friends of ours and others that we don't know who are going into every part of the earth and on every continent and climbing the steeps and crossing the waves. Onward, 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And he says, I want you to teach all nations. The word means make disciples. I've spoken about that already. I don't need to re-emphasize it. He said, I want you to have people come clearly on my side and publicly stand out on my side. And I know there are places where that is going to seal people's lives with their blood. Their testimony will be sealed in martyrdom. But around the world, people are willing to pay the price, to be seen, to be on Jesus' side. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? And again, and all around the world these days, there are thousands upon thousands of believers being baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. It's not a little water in infancy that makes you a child of the kingdom. But when you come into the kingdom by true repentance and faith, turning from sin and darkness to Jesus Christ, the light of the world, then it is that public step of baptism that identifies you with the people of God. And he says, I want you to teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the New Testament norm. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Timothy, what you have heard of me, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's how it's to be done. Transgenerational. From generation to generation, the light is carried, the baton is passed on. And while some of us are growing older and our ministry will come to its end, we want young men and young women too to pick up the torch and carry the message right on until Jesus comes or calls. And whenever he comes and takes his bride home, then praise God, we will have fulfilled the great commission. Go ye therefore, teaching all nations, discipling them, making them true converts and making them true disciples and converters as they have been converted themselves, that they then in turn become leaders of others to Jesus Christ. Praise God for the ministry of His Spirit. I don't want you to forget these words that Jesus spoke and the message that He left with His disciples. And give yourself to Him today so that you too might become a messenger of the cross of Jesus, an ambassador for Him, beseeching men and women to be reconciled unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who knew no sin, and yet who became sin, a sin offering, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. William Carey is well known as the father of modern missions. William Carey went to India in the 18th century, and when he got there, he called an English judge, and he shared with him his design and his purpose to reach the Indian people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach the Hindus for the Savior. The judge looked at him, and he was somewhat disdainful, and he said to them, "You've come to convert the Hindus?" He said, "You have come to do or to carry out an impossible task." This is what he said, "You cannot convert the Hindus. Their religion is older than Christianity. It's interwoven with all their social and industrial life, separating them into indestructible castes. They have sacred books, learned priests, magnificent temples, and the holy Ganges River, in which they have washed their sins away from time immemorial." William Carey replied, "Sir, I am not attempting to do this work alone. I rely on the cooperation of the Holy Spirit to break down these barriers and soften these hearts." The judge replied, "Well, well, if you can connect Almighty God with your project, I have nothing more to say against it." We can connect the Omnipotent One to our ministry, to our project. Yes, the project of building the kingdom under the guidance and headship of Jesus Christ.